If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of 1 John, first chapter, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, I'm going to read this passage and then share what's on my heart. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We can see from this passage, there's two things that are all upon my heart. There's one of two ways that we can walk. We can walk in darkness, or we can walk in the light. So what does it mean? That's what I want to talk about. What does it mean to walk in darkness? And what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, God is light. We see that from the scripture. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, not any. So walking in the light means walking with God. You're in fellowship with God. Walking in the darkness is simply living your life without God. No fellowship. You live in a separation from the life of God. This is how it was in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the waters, or the deep, the abyss. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the waters. And then God said, let there be light. It's interesting. Let there be me. He's creating himself. Let there be what I am. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And it's interesting. And he said that it was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he makes no mention that the darkness is good. God is good. God is light. And the light he brought forth is good. So in the beginning, it was all dark until God began to share his life and created life from himself out of nothing. It's interesting, in the new creation, there's a new creation that's going to take place. We can read about that in John 1, the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came to being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Amen. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended him. It's interesting. In him was life. What life is John referring to? Well, he's referring to the eternal life that he witnessed in Christ. The life that Adam and Eve once enjoyed. The eternal life they were created with. They lost that life the day they sinned. God had warned them, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And the day Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the life of God. They lost fellowship with God. They were driven out of the garden where they used to walk with God in the cool of the evening, enjoying fellowship with him. But in their sin, they lost fellowship with God and were separated from the life of God. And in that very same way that sin entered the world through them, sin passed to every man, and through sin, death. So that death reigned. Death reigned in the world over every man from the time of the first Adam's sin until the last Adam, came. Because the last Adam, the Word that was with God and who was God in the beginning, that last Adam became flesh. And for the first time since Adam and Eve enjoyed eternal life with God for a brief time, we don't know how long, but they had it. Now the life of God was back in the earth in one person, in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus began to teach this and manifest the life of God, which was the, John calls it the life of God, which is the light of all men. It's interesting that he uses that expression. He received these things and this understanding from the Lord Jesus, and his gospel may have been one of the latter gospels. So he's reflecting back on the record he leaves us. John records this interaction with Jesus and the Jewish people in John chapter 8, where just the Jesus, the light, by the way, it does say, and the light shines. That's very interesting, because written years after the fact, John uses the present tense. The light of Jesus shines. It, and as long as Jesus lives, he is the light. And he is still shining the light that lights every man.
Amen.
It's still shining. Jesus said this to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. So can you see how to avoid walking in darkness? He who follows me will never walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. And then Matthew must have understood this as well, because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, Matthew records that the fulfillment of this prophecy from the Old Testament. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And on those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. You see, these people who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death in great darkness, they were the people of God. They had the law. They had religion. But they did not have life. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. Brothers and sisters, we can have religion. We can understand that God's law is good and still be dead. Because only those who have the life of God in Christ actually have His life. Religion doesn't do that for us. God's light was shining in the world in Jesus Christ. And all the people needed to do to begin to enjoy the light of God, which is His life, is to follow. Start following the light and you will never walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. It's interesting, this same prophet, Apostle John, in chapter 12, records this interaction with Jesus and a multitude and a crowd. In chapter 12, verses 31 to 36, Jesus said, now judgment is upon this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd, the multitude, then answered him, we've heard out of the law that the Christ must remain forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, spoke to them all. Listen very carefully. For a little while longer, the light is with you. I'm among you for a little while longer. It's what he says. For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. Because whoever walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. Fascinating that he said, the key for you, you have the light. It's among you. While you have it, while you see it, believe in the light before the darkness overtakes you. Believe in the light so that you can become sons of the light. And then in verse 46, the same chapter, John 12, 46, I have come as light to the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Everyone who believes in me, the light will not remain in darkness. So we see Jesus came into the world as the light. And the beginning of walking in the light that you have as he reveals himself to you is believe. Believe while you have the light so that you may become sons of light. The person who begins to follow Jesus does so by faith.
Yes.
The light comes to them. That is the grace of God. And while they have the light, if they believe in the light, believe will lead to following the light. And once you believe and begin to follow the light, you will not remain in darkness. You'll become sons of the light. Like Paul said, we're to live as sons of the light. So you see the message that John, back to the message where I started in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message. God is light. There's no darkness in him. And he has sent the light into the world, and the light shines. And if you walk with him, if you follow him, you will not live in darkness. Because if you are not following him, you have no fellowship with God. You cannot, it's not enough to say, I believe in God. It's not enough to say, I know God. Unless you have fellowship with God, you have no life of God. The only way you can experience the life of God is through the fellowship of him who had life. In him was life. And only those who walk with him can experience the life of God. And here's the verdict. That is so set. God has decided this is the way it is. There is no other way to experience life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, who is life, but by me. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven and earth whereby men must be saved. That's the verdict. It's already been decided. The court has made its decision, and he has published his verdict. You and I know how God is going to decide what he does on the day of judgment. Jesus said this, John chapter 3. I'm going to start with the most familiar part to us and read on. John chapter 3. I'm going to start with John 3:16, so you'll know that part. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Because you see what God already decided? Everyone who does not believe in the Son is damned. It's already decided. It won't be decided. The decision is already made. Those who do not believe will be judged. Those who believe will not be judged. That's a decision that's already made. Because, and they will be judged for not believing, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here's where Jesus himself said, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men loved darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." So you see what the verdict is. The light has come. It has come. It's not coming. It's here. It is shining. The light of God. His life is in the world. The light that leads men right to God and restores the life of God that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned is in the world. It's shining. And all it takes to experience that life is to believe in the only begotten Son. But it's interesting that it said, light has come. That's the verdict. But men love darkness more than light. Because their deeds were evil. And then it makes this statement. Everyone, every individual who practices evil hates the light. Now, he estado leyendo español. I've been reading español. And I've seen in two translations of the Spanish scriptures that one translation uses this, odia la luz. They hate the light. The other translation uses aborrece. Aborrece la luz. They abhor the light. I don't think either is the best word. I prefer the word menospreciar. Menosprecia. You know what that means? You know what menos means? What does menos mean? Less. And precia is value or price. That's really what he's saying. Men devalued. Men devalued the truth, the light, more than the darkness. Because their deeds were evil. And why? Why do men do that? Why do men value darkness more than light because of their evil deeds? You know why I think they do that? Because they are being deceived by the prince of darkness.
Yes.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So the reason men do not see the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ is Satan has blinded their minds. And one of the ways he blinds the minds of men is by how he divertirlos. He entertains them with all kinds of worldly, carnal, empty, vain trinkets. Things that keep men preocupado, preoccupied, busy with all of their things, all with one goal. He doesn't care so much what it is, as long as it prevents them from seeing the light of God, the light of His glory in the face of Christ. Yeah, his job, he knows if they see the light of God in the life of God, He's lost them. He's lost them and they'll be restored to God. Paul said this in Ephesians to the church of Ephesus in chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, speaking of being blinded in the minds. He was writing to the Ephesian Christians, warning them, do not live like the Gentiles do. And then he described how the Gentiles live. Verses 17 through 19. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God due to the ignorance that is in them caused by the hardening of their heart. And you know what they do in that state? Having become callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality. You know what sensuality is? The senses. They've given themselves over to what they can feel. What feels good. What is stimulating. Because they've lost sensitivity to the life of God. They've lost sensitivity to truth and spiritual things. And they become sensualized. Sensual. And the world is just one big sensual orgy, really, in many ways. Competing for who has the latest thing to stimulate you. All driven by the God of this world to keep us from discovering the true spiritual riches that are in Christ.
Amen.
He's just driven by it. It's interesting. They've given themselves over to live by what they feel. You know who has to live by what they feel? A blind man. Without light, you have to feel your way. Can't see where you're going. You just go from one feeling to the next. That feels safe. This feels good. This is, oh, I'm lonely. Being in bed with that guy feels good. I know we're not supposed to, but you know, I shouldn't watch that, but or look at that, but it feels good. Not living by light, living in darkness, without any ability to seal, they grope along. It says in the Old Testament, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, they grope along like a blind man. He enters the house, he puts his hand on the wall, and a serpent bites him. He flees only to run into a bear. Because you can't see. And if you live by what you feel, you're blind. Because you'll either live by the light of Christ, following Him, trusting Him, living by His word, or you'll live by how you feel. And if you're living by your feelings, you're blind. Because the word of God says, let no unwholesome talk proceed forth out of your mouth. But what if you just talk according to the way you feel? You're blind. What if you just choose what you choose by what you feel? You're blind. That's the result of not having the light of God shining in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says this, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not realize what makes them stumble. They're just feeling their way along. You know, it's interesting. Men do not stumble because there's no light. The light shines. The light is shining in the world. So why don't men see it? You know why? They've allowed their eyes to become accustomed to the dark. And they prefer the dark. They want to stay in the dark. They do not want full light. Now, I did quite a bit of traveling, and I can say sometimes the light's pretty difficult, especially if you're driving east and it's early morning. It's sometimes tough to see. So you can see why the light too intense at times, but I don't really think that's what the scripture's talking about. See, the light of God exposes the end of some of our pleasures. Sin is kind of, in the beginning, sin can be pleasurable for a time, but in the end, what happens? In the beginning of a way, it seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They do really want to see. They really don't want to see the consequences of their actions. They want to enjoy the moment. They are hooked on the feeling, even if the result, the direct result of giving in and feeding that feeling takes more from them than it actually does for them. That's blindness. That's blindness in a way that men just do not understand. And you or I are either going to walk in the light or we're going to walk in darkness depending upon how we see things. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, if you got an eye for evil, if you're looking for what feels good, if you're looking for what stimulates you, if you're looking for what's going to make you happy, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're going to get. And if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Because that's what you're looking for. Your body will be filled with what you were looking for. Isn't that what Paul said? Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whoever sows to please his flesh, from his flesh will reap corruption. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You choose what you're looking after. You choose what you're looking for. And if you're looking for evil, you will find it. But if that's what you're looking for, your entire body will be full of darkness. And Jesus said, and if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, this is the darkness that the world is living in. A darkness that is void of the life of the light of God in Christ. And Paul said this to the believer, that Jesus Christ came to rescue us from the dominion of darkness and to transfer us into the kingdom of the Son, a beautiful realm of light. Where God gives us light, He shows us the way to live. He shows us what's good. Every good, pleasing, and perfect thing. That is what God's will for us. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But He must rescue us from that animalistic, naturalistic, living for satisfying the cravings of the flesh. He must rescue us from that by causing us to be born again of His Spirit. We have to respond to that. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 15. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Meaning this, there are men who have a lot of empty words trying to keep people in darkness. They're actually trying to make people feel good about the things God is seeking to rescue us from. Isn't that incredible? And sadly, these men are in churches, not just out in the world. There are men in churches trying to make believers feel good about living in darkness. Right. Listen to what he says carefully. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live and walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them for what they are. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know what came to me as I was considering being deceived by those, someone with vain words? Peter warns about false teachers in the last days. There'll be an abundance of them. And he said they are deceiving and being deceived. Men can be sincere. But if you take a sincere person who has been deceived, all he will share with you is what he's been deceived by. So you're actually being deceived by the deception that took him. You know what it seems like to me? That's the blind leading the blind. And what happens when the blind lead the blind? So they're going to both end up in the ditch because neither of them know where they're going. And anyone whose influence in your life is taking you away from following the Lord Jesus Christ is a blind guide. What did Jesus say to do with the blind guides? Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Do not let yourselves be deceived. The fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yes. If you don't see in the light God's goodness, righteousness, and truth, it's a fruitful deed of darkness. Expose it, have nothing to do with it, and don't be deceived by men who try to tell you there will not be a consequence for doing so. People who try to tell you there will not be a consequence for sex outside of marriage are deceiving you. Don't listen to them. People who try to tell you you can watch pornography and be forgiven for it if you continue in it are deceiving you. Do not listen to men who encourage you to walk in darkness in any way. They are blind and they're going to lead you to stumble in a way that you will not recover from unless God is gracious and merciful to you. The only way to escape the dominion of darkness is to follow Christ. Live by His words, by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. The reason it's safe to follow Christ is Christ never spoke on His own. He only said what the Father told Him to say. He only did what the Father showed Him to do. So that He could say, when you have seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. It is the Father living in Me who is doing His work. The works that I do are His works. When we want to know our Heavenly Father, when we want to be restored to the God who is light, that restoration and that communion and fellowship with Him must be experienced through following the Lord Jesus Christ and in no other way. His light is shining, present tense, still shining. And it's like situations like this, and I feel for us in some ways, because It is in through preaching or through teaching in your Sunday school class, perhaps through your interaction with a brother or sister in Christ, perhaps it's through a parent, perhaps it's through some other way. Here's light. Light has come to you. The truth of God, the light of God has come to you. What are we supposed to do while we have the light? What did Jesus say? While you have the light, believe in the light before the darkness overtakes you. If you believe in the light, you will become sons of the light. If you don't, if you do not believe in the light, and you do not choose to become a follower of the light, the darkness will overtake you. And the result of that darkness will be separation from God. Proverbs 4:18 makes this clear. The light is going to come to you. God is going to bring light to you. His light shines. And it may just be a little bit at first. Especially you young people, listen to me. It may just be a little bit at first. You don't have to understand everything. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:18 that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of light, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. So you don't have to see everything right now. But the key is, how will you respond to what light you're receiving? If light comes to you and says, that's wrong, will you believe? If light comes to you and says, you shouldn't keep company here because that's leading you away, will you believe? Or will you choose darkness over light? Is your eye evil or is your eye good? If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, that looks awful. What did Eve see when she looked at the fruit? What was it? Pleasing to the eye. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of men. Be careful. Light will come to you. How will you respond? Will you respond believing the light while you have it? Because if you don't, there are a lot of young people, Chris, Nathan, Elijah, and others of you that are here, older and young, many started with a little light and have abandoned the ways of light to walk in darkness. And they have no fellowship with Christ. They're not walking with Christ. And I could speak and name those that are in my mind. I don't really want to do that. I think those of you that are sitting here, some of you parents, especially your older parents, some of you may have children that are not walking in the light. Listen, I'm not talking about they say they believe in God. I'm talking about following Christ. Following Christ is the only way to walk in the light. Amen. It's not enough that they claim that they believe. That's not enough. Unless you follow Christ, you have no light. You can't walk in the light. This is one of the reasons I wanted to share this with you. Do not allow yourselves to be comforted by the fact that they say they still believe. John makes this very clear in 1 John. It's interesting. I want to attempt to do something that I'm just beginning to see in the scripture. God makes promises to all. Jesus would speak to the multitudes, and it's written in with plurals to them, to the crowd. And then he would switch. He would state a general promise or a general warning, and he would intentionally switch to the singular. Why would, and I begin to notice, I saw it here and here and here and here. And I began to see it as a pattern. God sent Jesus to the whole world. Just an example. If you want to look with me, look in John 3:16. Just that same verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he switches it to the singular. That whosoever is singular. Whosoever, and John did this over and over and over in his gospel. Why does it switch to whosoever believeth in him? Why is that? Because the difference in a promise to all and whether you actually experience it, it's your decision. It's your choice. It's not them. Can I say this lovingly? God is not going to save University Park Baptist Church. You're not going to get into heaven because you were part of this group. Mm-mm. Everyone stands before God and will be judged for your individual response to him.
Amen.
There's an actual parable to show that. Remember the parable of the king and the banquet? Had a son and he wanted to throw him a banquet. The first part of the parable talks about those who were invited at first didn't want to come. And so he had to resend his servants out to the far reaches of his realm and just compel people to come in. Go out there to the highways and byways and compel them to come in so that my banquet hall will be filled. And so, sure enough, the banquet hall was filled with people. And the king came out to inspect those that were there at the banquet. And you would think with a nice full banquet hall, he would be all happy. But what does the parable say? What did he notice? He happened to notice there was someone there who was not in wedding clothes. He wasn't satisfied that most of the people were there. That person did not choose to put the wedding clothes on himself. And the king said, take that man and throw him outside into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is, I fear that is going to happen to some of the people who come here. They do not follow Christ during the week. They do things he says not to do. They live in ways that are not light. They walk in darkness, but coming here, they think they're safe. And I think those are going to be the ones who are shocked to hear, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me. That's scary. Let me show you another place where this is in Scripture. Turn with me to 1 John. I want you to see this in Scripture so that you can look for it yourself and test it for yourself. I believe you'll find it all through Scripture. I'll just give you several examples. Here in 1 John chapter 1, I want you to notice, and it's not as easy in some of our English translations to pay attention to this as it is to some of the older ones. The King James actually does a good job of distinguishing between whether he's talking to a group or an individual. Because we say you and you, what do we mean? You all or you individual? This is what I'm talking about. It's important to know. God makes his promises in general. Wisdom calls out to all men, doesn't she? She raises her voice to all mankind. And then she says, whoever, singular, whichever one of you will respond to me, turn to me and I'll pour out my spirit on you, individual. The invitation is to all, but the activation for receiving the promise is an individual response. All through Scripture. It's all there. Let's see an example of it here in 1 John. Look at all the we's. Follow me. I'm going to start in verse 5. Follow me with the we's. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's general. That applies to everyone. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Still, in general, that's a truth for all of us, all men. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Again, general to all men. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, we, very intentional, for all. That's a truth of God for all. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, a truth for all. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. This is another plural, so that none of you might sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then he switches, because here's where the rubber meets the road. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. That's still in the we. Watch him now. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's true. And then he says, but the one. Very intentional switch. Any individual who says, I have come to know him, but does not keep his commandments, that one is a liar. You see that? That's verse 5. Verse 4. 1 John 2, 4. The one who says, individual, the one who says, I've come to know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Another example from the Old Testament. When God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage, he said, I'm delivering you to bring you, in general, the people, into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. And when they were on the banks of the Jordan River, and God told the people, go in and take possession of the land I have given you, and I will be with you, and I will go before you, and I will fight for you, I will hand your enemies over to you. The people received the promise. But how many of those people entered the land? Two. And why did two of all of those people who had been given the promise, why did only two actually receive the promise? Because they did what Jesus said to do when the light comes. They believed. They mixed with faith the thing they heard. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see what it takes when the light comes to us? The light comes to all. Jesus is the light of the world. But is he your light, Chris? Are you going to walk in him? Are you going to walk with your buddies at school? Because not all your buddies at school are going to walk with him. And Nathan, the same with you back there. You have to decide whether you're going to walk with him. Because not all of your friends are going to walk with him. He died for them. He is the light for them. And his light does come to them. But it won't do them any good unless when they have the light, they believe in the light and begin to follow the light. That's when the life of God becomes our life. That's when Jesus becomes our Lord, our Savior, my Lord. And when I stand before the Lord in the day of judgment, guess who else is going to be there with me? I won't be there with you either. I won't vouch for you. Each of us are going to stand and give an account for what we've done. How we've responded to the light. This is the judgment. God's promise. His light. He has given His Son for the life of the world. Christ died as a propitiation for not only our sins, but for the sins of the world. But what makes that intercessory death? What makes His death my forgiveness? My response to the light. If I don't respond to the light, it's just a general promise God has made and given for all. Now, I think we've known that. But somehow, in the deceitfulness of sin, many of us are tested to compromise that and hope that the people we love who are not walking with Christ are somehow still going to get kind of swept in with the crowd. You're kind of hoping that your faith will save them. How you raise them, that'll save them. How they used to be in church, that'll be good enough. The fact that they still say with their lips, I believe in God. Hey, I believe in Jesus. You're hoping that's going to be enough? Let me tell you, it will not be enough. Yes. The only way to have the light of life is to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you do not follow Jesus Christ, you will remain in darkness.
Yes.
That's a verdict. It's already been rendered. I can't change it, and neither can you. The question for us is, that is light. That statement itself is light. Do you accept it? The light's come to you. Do you believe that everyone who lives, if they want eternal life, they must follow Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You believe that? Or are you hoping? You hoping they're going to get caught up in the movement and they're in the crowd, and when the Lord returns and He brings everyone back, somehow, though they are not in church, they are not walking with the Lord, they're not following Christ, they're going to be okay. Are you hoping that? You know, Jesus did talk about people do get caught up in the movement, don't they? You remember the kingdom of heaven is like a net that's thrown out into the sea and it gathers fish of all kinds. There's hope there. Good and bad. And when they drag the net upon the shore, it's got fish of all kinds. Some they were trying to catch, and some they just happened to catch. Well, all the fish made it to shore. That's good, right? But then what did the fishermen do? They collect the good and throw out the bad. And Jesus said when his angels return, that's the first thing they're going to do, is weed out of his kingdom everyone who did not follow him. That's pretty serious. But that's the truth. And I'm just concerned that we know that's the truth. And we don't compromise that truth. That's not a very popular truth in our day. For me to tell you that if those you love are not following Jesus Christ, they are going to be judged. I just read the verdict. It's not my verdict. Light has come. Men love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. And those who are practicing what's evil, they do not come to the light. We may not like to think of it that way. We might like to think of it instead, well, they're just kind of confused, or they're discouraged, or they've kind of lost their way. What if what they really love to do is they've learned to love the things of darkness? And they don't want to come to the light because the things that they're doing are going to be exposed. That's what Jesus said was the main reason for not coming to the light. Is they don't want what they're doing to be seen in the light of what God says. So I'm going on. Let me wrap this up with a plea for you. If we ourselves don't walk in the light as he is in the light, if we're not following Jesus in every way, those that are still in darkness have very little chance. If they're not even in church at all, they're not going to church, they're not reading their Bible, what light will come to them if it's not from us? You follow me? You don't want to talk to them about the things of the Lord. You don't want to make them uncomfortable. Okay. I understand. I struggle with the same thing. But we are now the light of the world, aren't we? We are. We are those who must demonstrate and show what it means to follow Christ. And that gives those that are at least walking, that are walking in darkness, that gives them opportunity for light to come to them again. And that's, we can hope that once again, they will respond to the light in faith. And so it's just very important that we live with integrity, and that we ourselves are followers of the Lord Jesus, and we do not allow ourselves to be deceived by anyone claiming that somehow You don't really have to follow Jesus Christ to experience eternal life. Mm-mm. No. Only those who follow Jesus Christ can have fellowship with Him and experience eternal life. And so that means we should be concerned for some of the people in our lives that we know are not doing that. And we should not give up on them. God does not want anyone to perish. He's long-suffering. He's patient. But let's take every opportunity we can to be that light of Christ to them. Okay?